Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and all of the kids here for VBS Sunday, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All this week, we've been at camp, Camp Discovery. Like Camp Silka, Camp Discovery teaches us about serving others and about getting to hear God's Word together. We get to have fun doing that. We've been hearing about our mighty God, our big, bold, powerful God, who is able and willing and has used His strength to deliver us from sin and mowing down our sins, as was said a few minutes ago. In some ways, the adventure is over. The campfire is out. A lot of the decorations are getting taken down. The skits with Will and Hank and Jeff and Carter, they're over. But in other ways, the adventures of vocation, the adventures of doing those things that we enjoy doing to help serve our neighbor, like I was just talking about, those adventures are just beginning. This week we learned what the word vocation means. It includes occupations, and I got to hear from some of you and some of the leaders about some of the occupations you're hoping to do, from construction workers to sports athletes and things like that. Each of those are vocations. But vocation also includes every place into which God has called you in your life. I told the kids earlier, being kids or having parents, and if you're a parent, then that's your vocation. Brothers and sisters and friendships, all of these are vocations. All of these are places into which God has placed you in your life. All of those are vocations. And if you turn to page 328 in the front of your handles, you'll see a few more. We have this section of the table of duties. We have, yes, pastors are listed, but what else? We have what the hearers owe their pastors. We have civil government. We have citizens. We have husbands. We have wives, parents, children, workers of all kinds, employers and supervisors, youth, widows, everyone. Each of these are vocations. Each of these are just as good of vocations as friendships. Yes, in every walk of life, we are being called to bear our Christian faith to the world. And that's what Paul wrote in our Ephesians text, our second text for this morning. He, Paul, urges us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So if you'll turn to the back of your bulletins, we can look at the text that Paul has given us and kind of start to unpack it so we better understand it. Paul continues writing that there is one body and one Spirit. Just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Already, Paul is doing what he normally does, taking a whole lot of stuff and putting it in a very small place. So we have to unpack it. We have to figure out what he means by all these things. And when he talks about the one body, he's referring to the body of the church. Now, earlier this week, we had some discussion during snack time as to just what church means. Does it mean the church building, like the building that we're sitting in now? Or is he talking about the church as in the body of believers? Well, here he's talking about the body of believers. There is also one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, sent from God to keep us in the one true body and the one true faith. This one Spirit is the very Spirit that we receive in the waters of holy baptism and who keeps us in our faith, in our hope, in our Lord Jesus Christ. As the church, we have one hope, the hope and everlasting life given to us by our Lord Jesus Christ and His death upon the cross. We have this hope as the gift of God. Thanks to Martin Luther, we now know what this means. It is a gift. It is a gift of grace, free and boundless. We don't have to do any work to earn it. It is given to us. And through the Spirit, we can truly receive it. We can truly believe it. We don't have to do any work to deserve it. Yes, we can mow the lawn for others. We can wash dishes for others. But those are things we can do because we are saved. We're already saved. Jesus has already paid the price. He has said, "It is finished." The price for every sin that you have ever committed or any good that you have ever omitted to do has been paid. A few weeks ago, I was at a convention and we found out that the words "it is finished" in Greek means the same thing as "it is paid." It is paid in full. Your forgiveness is paid in full. Our God and Father is over all and through all and in all. It was His desire that our Lord Jesus Christ should go to the cross for you. Our Heavenly Father cares for you that much. Then when Jesus ascended on high, He led a host of captives and He gave gifts to men. Those gifts were the talents that you have each received according to the measure of Christ's gift. He has given them to you to use in your vocations, whatever those vocations may be. Pastor or hearer, civil authority, citizen, husband, wife, you name it. He has given you your talents and has placed you where you are because that is the way God intended it. He wants you to be where you are, and He has given you the gifts that you need to live in that place. God has given you the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip you for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Now, we've been sharing these things all week long. Did any of you, leaders or children, go home that night and help out with something that needed to be done, with somebody that needed help? Did one of you go home and help somebody? Or maybe even the next day, did you help out somebody? Or did you maybe go home and share the gospel with somebody that has never heard it? Or maybe the next day, did you go home and the next day share the gospel with somebody that had never heard it? If you did, that is good. But more than likely, you went home and did your regular routine, whatever that is. Maybe you went home and watched TV. Maybe you went home and watched videos on YouTube or talked about this movie or that movie. And granted, it's good and beneficial to our bodies to take breaks, but is your entire summer break just one long break? Is your entire life just one big break? Who do you serve with your life? What is the purpose of your life, and who do you serve? Do you serve God or do you serve mammon? And remember, mammon, like money and treasure, is not just gold and money. Mammon could be anything that you put in the place of God, any idol that you put in the place of God, including yourself. If you serve yourself rather than God, that is a sin. If you serve money rather than God, that is a sin. If you serve lust rather than God, that is a sin. And all sins are equal in God's eyes. There is no sin that is greater or worse in God's eyes. Do you make a god for yourself, even of yourself, being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes? Or do you listen to those speaking the truth in love? And the truth is none other than this. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to the cross of Calvary to pay for your sins. For all those times of idolatry or laziness, they have been paid for. As I just said, they have been paid in full. It is finished. It is paid in full. Your sins are forgiven. Each and every one of you are forgiven in Christ Jesus and His death on the cross of Calvary. No works are needed to earn this. It is grace, free and boundless. It is God's gift to you, and not just to you, but to the entire world. But how are they to hear it if no one tells them? How are they to receive this gift if they've never even heard of it? That is why Paul wrote, "We." Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We grow together as we share God's word with each other and with those who have never heard it. We grow in our faith. That is the way the Spirit that you received at your baptism works. He works through the word and the hearing of the word and the sharing of the word. This is not our doing, so that we don't have to be worried that we'll do it wrong. God works through His word to bring us together. He works through that Spirit. He works through His Spirit given to you to bring us together, to make us one in Christ, one body in Christ, bearing with one another. And just as the Spirit keeps you in the one true faith, the Spirit will also help you to share the gospel and to live out your vocations in God-pleasing ways. Now, it's not always clear how the Spirit does this, but this is what we just confessed in the Creed. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. What else does this mean that when the word is proclaimed and properly taught, the Spirit is there working, bringing us together, making us the body of Christ, and giving us the desire to go out and share that good news and to share our vocations and our talents with others? Just as we believe and trust that God has made us and all creatures, we can believe and trust that He is in us working through the Spirit. And all of this we believe because of what Jesus Christ has done in going to the cross of Calvary for your sins. Thanks be to God for that. In Jesus' name, amen.